This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 218 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
What's up?
But why'd you say good evening?
Oh, I felt like it. Okay. Usually I say hello, everyone.
Yeah. But like, what if they're listening in the morning? It's going to feel weird to them.
It's evening to me. Good, it's, whatever it's, time of day you're listening to this.
To me as well. Well, it's too late now. The damage has been done. Their psyches are shattered.
I've now given an alternate greeting for... You know, when they're 27 seconds in.
I'm not going to put that in the description.
Well, so I said...
Jump 27 seconds ahead if you're not listening to this in the evening.
So I said when they're 27 seconds in. So it's funny. I messaged you earlier today and I was like, I watched Hannibal, Shield, and Upload. Is that literally the only three shows that we have on the list that we're both watching currently? And yeah. So...
I've picked up a couple of new shows, and of course I have my shows that I watch, and
right.
You have your shows, but yeah, I picked up three new shows this week.
Because that was the other thing I messaged, like, is there any show I'm supposed to have started that I haven't, because...
And I looked back through the notes, and I couldn't see anything that really...
I know we've talked about shows coming up, you know, like Twilight Zone started, and I did watch the first four episodes.
I haven't watched any of that yet. Doom Patrol came back. They've got three episodes up.
I've heard a lot of great stuff about Doom Patrol.
Can't wait to watch it. And it was just time got away from me this week. I was actually very socially distantly active and watched a lot of movies and shows. So,
are you going to watch Twilight Zone like right off?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I won't talk about it then in great detail other than to say the fourth episode is super weak sauce.
Is that why you stopped at four?
I struggled to get through.
I was like, I wonder why he stopped at four.
Yeah.
Could have been time, could have fallen asleep. No.
No, well, actually, I did. I had to go back and finish it.
Ooh, like, that is weak sauce.
Yeah, it was super weak sauce that I struggled to get through. It was just, I'm actually almost want to say, don't bother watching it.
Really?
I'll tell you what happened. But I won't go that far.
Okay.
I won't go that far. But no, the so the first episode has Jimmy Simpson in it. He's been in a bunch of great stuff, including Westworld and Gillian Jacobs, or Jillian Jacobs, however she pronounces it.
I believe she pronounces it Jillian.
And then episode two has Marina Karin.
Yes.
And episode three is like Ethan Embry. And it's good.
I do like him.
Ovation is episode four. And it's again, it's some weak-ass sauce. Episode one is like, holy cow, good.
Really?
Yeah, and then like, holy shit ending. Episode two... Great, solid story. I think you'll connect to it or relate to it a little bit. It's kind of interesting. Episode three, I enjoyed it. Mom. Episode four.
Hello, baby. Lame.
Not at all. Real struggle to get through this. It was slow. And it was just annoying. And so I got six episodes left to watch. So I'll hold off so you can watch those four this week. We can talk about them next week and then watch some more, but I do need to watch it within a month because that's my trial and I'm not spending money. Hannibal, I watched episodes 6 and 7 of season one.
Why don't you walk us through? And it actually worked out well because they kind of were a two-part episode.
So I don't know if I was seeing things or maybe I dozed off along the way. I don't know. But Okay, so episode 6 is called Entree. And you have a nurse that's murdered by a doctor there. And it reminds them of the Chesapeake Ripper.
Yep.
Who hasn't murdered anyone in 2 years or whatever it is. And that's how long this guy's been in jail. So yes. Then like, oh, is this the Chesapeake Ripper then? But of course, Graham doesn't think he is.
Right.
And then Crawford apparently gets a phone call from the real Ripper, who plays a recorded voice. And this is what I thought was cool because I looked it up. It's Anna Chlumsky.
Yes. I saw her name in the opening credits.
I know. I'm like, you know what I mean? Because like, I haven't seen her whole lot since My Girl, to be honest.
Right. Well, this episode we also had Eddie Izzard was the,
yes.
the prisoner.
Yes.
I was like, boy, they're really pulling out all the stops for the guests.
Yes, they most certainly are. And so anyhow...
We get to see a lot of her black and white flashbacks.
Yeah, like old footage of her and everything. Mm-hmm. But excuse me.
Little gastrointestinal.
Yeah, stress. Something's not settling right from dinner. I apologize.
That's all right.
Anyhow, there we go. Yeah, so then we get some black and white like footage of previously.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Lecter murders her.
Well, we eventually get to that part. You know, we can see her starting at the behavioral unit with Jack there.
Yeah, and she is his understudy or
she's brilliant.
Yeah, she's brilliant, and she's the new person that he's grooming
mm-hmm.
to be the future, and then she's murdered violently.
Yep.
Now, okay. So we know that Lecter is the Chesapeake Ripper because they unveil that at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting to me that we don't really get to see Lecter's – like we see him killing people. We see him eating people. But it's weird because he's not like – like what you see him – you don't see him working with like a person's meat.
Right.
As much as you see him working with their organs when he's preparing things.
Yeah.
Heart, liver, kidneys, the lungs,
yep.
all that stuff. So that's kind of interesting because it's a different point of view. Because when you think about a cannibal, you don't think about them eating organs. You think about them eating meat, like ass,
flesh,
whatever. Yeah. Also, we don't see – it's like if you never knew about Hannibal Lecter before watching this, right? You see that he murders people, but they don't really delve into how he does it.
Right.
Like, how does he dispose of the bodies? How does he dispose of the leftover parts of the bodies? How does he decide who he's going to kill? Is it impulse killing? You know, like, we don't see the normal traits you see of a serial killer with the hunting, the stalking, the killing, the disposal, all that stuff like you see. It's left up in the air in the open, like he's that brilliant that they can't even figure out that this is him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's embedded himself essentially with the FBI, with the behavioral analysis unit, and they don't know it's him.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't seen, and maybe it's because we don't. I walked into this show knowing Hannibal Lecter was a serial killer, eight people.
Right.
But if no one had known about that before then, did they not realize it till episode 6, I wonder?
Right. Right. Was it like some kind of a mystery up until then?
Right.
You know, he did, in the first episode, he did call that one guy and say, they're on to you, they're coming.
Right.
So you got to have a suspicion there. But yeah, I've wondered the same thing. Like, if people completely never saw Silence of the Lambs, never knew any pop culture references.
Or Red Dragon Hannibal, or Hannibal. Or
never knew any pop culture references.
Yeah.
And were just going into this blind. Would they have been like, I wonder.
Yeah.
Like he's cooking up these body parts, but are they really those people? And yeah.
And he's not even, and again, because it's not a movie and it's a TV series. It's not, he's not even a thought of suspicion.
Right. Well, because like you said, A, he's embedded himself.
Yeah.
B, he's ingratiated himself. Like mm-hmm. he is, Jack comes to him for guidance with his wife's cancer and with everything that's going on, and Will is actually going to see him to try to get through some of the mental anguish. And you know, it would be like me finding out that you were a serial killer,
right?
You know,
yeah, fair enough.
We've been friends all these years, and for you to just be like, yeah, I've been, of course, I've been killing people.
Yeah, have you not figured this out?
Yeah,
and then you'd be like, why is your ex wife alive? And I'm like, this is some of my kids.
Ooh,
anyways,
nice.
But basically, Lecter apparently, and it's weird because he's brilliant. Oops, so,
pardon me.
That's okay. Instead of just being like, yep, Gideon's the Chesapeake Ripper and clearing himself, instead, he's the one that uncovers that this other doctor must have planted a seed or a thought in Gideon's mind, this doctor, that even though he doesn't believe himself to be the Chesapeake Ripper, that he really is.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He could have gotten away with it.
If it wasn't for those meddling kids.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, we watched Dexter, mm-hmm. a show, multiple seasons of him being a serial killer. But one of the things...
Several of those seasons were good.
Oh, yes. Not all of them. But one of the things, almost from season one, is he was under suspicion at different times
right.
by different people.
Yep.
And he's always having close calls. And maybe it is refreshing they're not doing that on Hannibal.
The one thing that I saw that was a crack in the armor, at least from my perspective, was that in this episode, as soon as they said that this person had been killed and that it looked like Dr. Gideon was the Chesapeake Ripper, like Hannibal seemed very upset by that. You notice that after that, the recording was played for Jack at, what was it, 2:46 a.m.
Yeah.
of Miriam's voice, that they found the hair on the pillow that belonged to her. Like, he wanted to make sure that they knew that it was not that guy.
That's true.
Like, he was very bothered that somebody else might get credit for his kills, is how it looked to me. They do a lot with psychology in this show, which I appreciate. You know, it's not enough that it's just, oh, there's serial killers and there's crazy people. They do a lot with the psychology of those broken people, of the other broken people. You know, when they interviewed the girl there who works for the rag,
mm-hmm.
They were really getting inside her head, too. Like, these characters all have a lot of depth to them. Will may be crazy, but he's got good depth to that crazy, which I can really appreciate.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I knew you'd love this next episode.
Well, but Anna Slomsky's character, Miriam, she, while working with Lecter, finds a drawing of someone they call Wounded Man.
Mm-hmm.
And the drawing matches the murder perfectly. And so clearly she's discovered, hey, this guy's a killer. And then he violently strangles her to death.
Because up until this point in the episode, we knew that she had disappeared.
Yes.
But we never, like, they never had a body. They never knew that she was dead.
Right.
So there was the worry that, ooh, was she the Chesapeake killer or the Chesapeake Ripper? Because, you know, maybe she decided that she was too close to it and she went rogue. But no, then we see this scene and we see, yep, he killed her.
Yep. The next episode, and why would I like this episode so much?
Because there's Gillian Anderson in it.
Yes, we get to see Gillian Anderson back. She is playing Hannibal Lecter's psychologist.
She seems to play that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Sex Education, she's great.
Yep.
As the
with a British therapist. Accent.
Yep. This one, she's playing it. She wasn't a doctor of psychology, but she was a doctor on the X-Files. I mean,
yeah,
she's got her chops.
So in this one, she is a retired psychologist that Lecter basically kind of forces to see him. And they have their sessions, obviously, together. But the main story in this is the BAU gets called in for a guy found a hotel room with a kidney removed.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they went, oh, black market organs, or, you know, the old wives' tale, waking up without a kidney, or, you know, all those things like that. And so Graham's trying to figure out, is this an organ harvester or is this the Chesapeake Ripper? Because now, as I guess every episode or every kill in every episode now is going to be, is that the Chesapeake Ripper?
Right.
Was it the Chesapeake Ripper that did this?
This guy hung a dog from a tree. Was it the Chesapeake Ripper?
Yeah. Because Crawford is obsessed with trying to catch him.
Mm-hmm. Now that it's been restirred, the plot's been restirred.
Oh, and they discovered Miriam's arm with her phone in the previous episode.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, when they dialed the, oh, he left a phone number.
Yeah, so they called it, and the phone rang, and they found her arm.
And they weren't sure if it was her arm, but they had the hair on the pillow.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, of course, Crawford's haunted by this, because why wouldn't he be?
Right.
Dr. Bloom there suspects Crawford's become obsessed with catching the Ripper. And that he's putting Graham in danger, chasing the Ripper by pushing his psyche too far.
Mm-hmm.
which he probably is. Oh, so this episode also, Lecter's performing is doing a dinner party for his friends and guests. These people from like the opera that was like, oh, you haven't done a dinner party in so long. And he chooses his, like, another medical examiner was rude to him one time. So he asked for his business card. And he has, like, this Rolodex of business cards that are neatly placed in there. And he'll pull a business card from someone that shit on him. And then he pulls out a recipe.
Yeah.
And it's, like, you know, like lamb brains. But he goes and kills this person who was rude to him and harvests his brain for the lamb brains. You know, he swaps out the meal, the organ.
It was a particularly loud lamb.
Yeah. An insurance adjuster person was rude to him, so he kills him, or car insurance, whatever it was. So he murders him to take his kidneys and hearts. And it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, hilarious. But what's he doing with the bodies? That's what we're not seeing. Like, he does all these murders, like murdering the guy on the side of the road. He's killing all these people. What's happening with the bodies?
Right. We also got an interesting new patient of his, played by Dan Fogler, who was a little bit really weird. Like, he wants Hannibal to be his friend.
Yeah.
He's, like, obsessed with him being his friend. And he's like, yes. I'm your doctor, not your friend.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I think we'd be great friends if we could be friends. If you would let me be your friend, I think we'd be much better as friends than as doctor and patient.
Definitely overstepping some boundaries.
Yeah, there. And Hannibal's like, well, that guy that you were with the other night, I don't think he's really your friend. And he's like, what are you talking about? So the guy clearly has, like, intimacy issues, friend boundary issues. It's playing out very well. I like that actor anyway. So they discover that the kidneys being removed, they're talking about somebody who's removing organs as if the people don't deserve to have the organs.
Yes.
Which I thought was a very interesting take on it. But they catch that guy because he stole an ambulance.
Yeah. He was a part-time paramedic and
This one ambulance is hardly ever used, and they're like, no, it's supposed to be right here. And he takes it to scenes and takes off with the people, but doesn't go to the hospital. He takes them someplace and removes. I liked how when they caught up with him, you know, they were like, show me your hands. And Jack's got the freaking shotgun right there. Show me your hands. And he's like, I can't do that. Dr. Lecter, get over here. And it, like, makes him get up there, and he's like, is there any validity to this? He's like, yeah, he's going to bleed out if I don't stabilize him.
And Dr. Lecter insults his, you can tell this was done by a poor surgeon, insults his surgery skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, to boot.
It's a damn good show.
Yes.
I'm really enjoying it. I tend to watch it closer to the nights that we record so that I can it'll be fresher in my brain.
Yeah. So Graham now thinks that there's only one Chesapeake Ripper, because he'd been saying for a long time there was two people working together, or appeared to be two people, but now with the arrest of this EMT, he's like, no, there's only one, and he's responsible for all the murders except the first murder.
So Lecter's probably feeling better about that.
But we've also seen Lecter murder other people in the guise of other serial killers.
Exactly. Yes. Like the first one there, the hunter.
Yeah.
He murdered him using that particular style,
yep.
But not quite.
Right, yeah.
So you're still digging it?
I am digging it, yeah. It's a good show. I enjoy having it to watch. I'm glad the seasons aren't 20 episodes apiece, though.
Yes, me too.
You know?
I'm learning to appreciate that more. Like I said, you know, during my walks, I'm rewatching Scrubs. And as much as I love Scrubs, looking at it and going, man, there were like 20-plus episodes per season.
It's daunting, yeah. When I was working from home and I could just set my tablet up and let it run, I blew through, you know, Supernatural really fast because of that. Essentially, you know, 40 episodes.
Right.
Same thing with X-Files Season 1. But now I'm back at the office full-time, so my TV watching is limited, and I enjoy professional wrestling quite thoroughly and other stuff. So, like, I actually find now I'm enjoying movies more than TV at times because I get that encapsulated. It's funny how watching
it's an hour and a half to 2 hours where you're like,
yes,
it's closed.
Yes.
You know,
it's a closed story type of thing. And it's funny how that happens where we go through phases where it's like, all right, I prefer movies over TV because it's a complete story in an hour and a half or 2 hours. And I don't have to worry about watching 20 episodes.
Right.
And then for a while their movies just were kind of lame.
Mm-hmm.
And TV shows were great because now I got 13 hours of this great story to watch.
Right.
And now I'm back to the, like, I don't want 13 hours of a great story. I kind of just want, like, an hour and a half and call it done.
Some of it's just daunting.
Yeah. You
know, like I said, I picked up a few shows this week, and even though I'm enjoying them, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, there's so much here.
It's like I wanted to watch Perry Mason.
Yes.
But with HBO Go leaving me here next month, it's like, I'm not going to bother. I'm not going to be able to finish it. You know? So it's like, I'm just not going to start it. Because I won't be able to finish it. So, oh, well. I'm not going to watch it right now. And, yeah, so I've been fine. I've been watching a lot more movies lately. And in fact, when we get to talking about movies, I had kind of like an 80s horror slasher mini film fest over the last one.
Nice.
Yeah. But you got me this sweet Haunting of Hill House extended director's cut for my birthday. And so I will be watching. I will be watching all 10 episodes of this slowly. It's a Blu-ray set, and 3 of the 10 episodes have extended director's cut editions episodes. I don't know how many minutes they are extended by, but episode 5, The Bentneck Lady, is extended, and that's the greatest episode of the season. So I'm very excited to rewatch this. But anyhow.
On to things we watched this week.
Yeah. S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Great season still.
Yes. Not as good as last week's episode.
No, but it was still good.
Yep.
We got a nice, cool 1970s style opening.
Oh, that was friggin' awesome. And the closing was the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I loved how they actually had the voiceover introduce all the characters. And then, you know, tonight's episode, A Trout in the Milk.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying that.
Yeah.
They go to the they're in 1973, confirmed. You know, they go to the speakeasy to try to find Enoch. And when they get there, there's a lot more people than they would expect. And there seems to be
Patrick Warburton.
And Patrick Warburton, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're preparing Project Insight, which is like several decades ahead of, you know, when it should be being done. Wilfred Malick's still alive. He should have died in 1970.
Yep. Yeah, because they were actually saying that. They're like, well, at least he's in the past. We don't have to worry about him anymore.
Wilfred's son's still alive, who also should have been killed. The Chronicoms are there at the party. They attempt to capture the agents. And they fail because they grab Wilfred's son and hold him hostage, and Wilfred lets them go. And that's when the Chronicoms realize that Wilfred has a weakness himself, or Freddy has a weakness himself, which is the human, like, instead of sacrificing his son to advance Hydra and complete the mission, he sacrificed everything else they'd worked for.
Right.
So.
But the Chronicoms basically step in and they're like, we'll change the rules.
Yeah.
And so they open up a time window so that the Zephyr has to take off immediately. Mm-hmm. And they bump them a couple years ahead.
3 years.
Yep.
Yep.
To when Insight is ready to go.
It's the night. It's the day of the launch of Insight.
Yeah.
And the Chronicoms had to jump as well.
Yep.
Well, Enoch helps them get back to the Zephyr from 73 before it jumps.
And he is... Enoch is as bitter as an emotionless Chronicom
yes.
can be.
Yes.
You know, he makes sure to mention several times, yes, I have been here for 40 years since you abandoned me.
Yes.
There's so much shade, but it's like low-key shade because he's not actually like emoting at all. But you know he would be pissed if he could be.
Right. So in 76, Coulson and May plant explosives in the lighthouse to try and stop the launch of Insight. Deke and Yo-Yo confront Wilfred. And Wilfred's just like, the Chronicoms know everything you're going to do. They predicted everything and yada, yada. And then Zeke kills him. He's like, I guess they didn't see that coming.
Yep.
And one of the things that the Chronicoms gave Wilfred was a manila envelope with something inside. We didn't get to see what it was. Yo-Yo looked at it, and she had the, oh, my God, face. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it's a picture, a report, or something. But the Chronicoms basically alluded that this will force them to do whatever we want them to do kind of thing. They have Max parents
in the lighthouse.
Yep.
So if they blow it up to stop Insight, then his parents will blow up. And who knows, does that mean he's never born?
Right. So Mac orders an abort, and then they reveal their position to shoot Insight out of this, blow it up with missiles before it can get into orbit, which the Chronicoms wanted them to do. At the same time, they've taken May and Coulson captive at the lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And, Daisy and Sousa had hacked into the computer system, and Nathaniel Radcliffe, Wilfred's Malik.
Yeah.
Faneuil Malik shows up and blasts them with some sort of stun cannon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And takes them both hostage. And basically, at the end of the episode, the PS is he's trying to get a hold of Whitehall because he has, you know, to try to transfer Daisy's powers to himself. Because in 73, he sees Daisy use her Quake powers. And
yep.
That's where the episode ends.
Yeah. It's, I loved Sousa's reactions to certain things. Like when she showed him the phone and showed him how to zoom in on the picture of him. And he's like, oh my God, that is so cool. Like he was losing his mind over that. And also, as they started looking at the things, he's like, maybe you shouldn't have taken me out of the past because this seems much worse than it was before. Like, the world seems a lot worse. They're like, we'll fix it.
Well, at the same time, though, them taking him out of the past didn't change anything.
Right.
Because he's still dead or he still wasn't there. So if he was there, he may have affected things in a negative way or a positive way. Who knows?
He thinks he would have hunted them down and, yeah.
Kate and I are still watching Queer Eye. We really enjoy the show and the characters and what they do and how they help people.
Well, I got to say, that's one of the shows that I picked up this week.
Oh, really?
Yep. I've burned through the first season.
Oh, wow.
I've had a couple of people who commented to me about that. I made a comment because I had a friend who was going on a date recently.
Yeah.
And she was sending me pictures of different dresses that she had. And I'm like, no, yes. And, so the people in my D&D group were like, oh, my God, do you watch Queer Eye? Are you a tan? I'm like, I don't know what that means. And they're like, yeah, if you like fashion, then you're a tan. And they're like, well, maybe you're an Antonian. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I was like, fine, I'll watch the show. Mike said that it's good. You guys
said we like
good.
It.
And I've burned through the first season. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the guys.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
I didn't care for the Japan episodes. It's a little bit harder for them to relate to everybody. But it's its own little thing.
So I started watching the first season, and I told my mother and my sister, I was like, you guys got to watch this. They're very positive. They're very upbeat.
Yes,
you know,
they are.
Good messages. They're not mean.
Yes.
And I was like, you'll really like it. So last night, my mother is talking to me, and she's like, I started watching that show. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, I like it, but I just got to ask, are they always in Japan? And I'm like, you're watching the wrong one.
Yeah.
There's Queer Eye, We're in Japan, which is what you're watching. You need to go watch just Queer Eye. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
So then she comes back to me later, and she's like, I love this show so much more.
Yeah.
It's so good.
But the thing is, like, you know, like I've told you, like, you know, like in this, like, Kurano's always wants to help people fix themselves and be whole. But what they do and their thought process and how they help people and everything, it's just, it feels so genuine. And that's why I think I'm a big fan of it.
Yes.
And it is. It's wholesome and it's good messages. And they help anyone and everyone. And I
finished the episode tonight at the end of the season, which was the fireman. And he's like, I don't want my house made over. I want the firehouse made over.
Yes. Yep. And they're like, okay, that's what we'll do. Or like one of my favorite episodes. And you see like people, like, cause they hug everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And like this one woman in this season.
Although Kurama was a little bit too much with the firefighter that he kept calling Superman, like
pulling
him down on the couch. And he's like, come on, just relax. I'm like, dude,
you don't actually, that doesn't happen a lot. Jonathan is the most flamboyant one.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But
you don't say.
But it's funny because as you watch in the episodes, he can't stop touching people's hair.
Yeah.
That's his passion.
Right.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know?
I was told that him and Antony are now an item.
Oh, are they?
Yep.
I have no idea.
Kelly, my friend, I was talking to her about it, and she said that she's listened to his audiobook, JVN's, and he narrates the whole thing. And she said it was very disturbing, blah, blah, blah. But by season 5, him and Antony are now a couple, which I find interesting. Huh. You're looking it up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yep.
June 12th, 2020, Antony and I are now a couple.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like Antony, at least for the first season. I really like the I like that he goes with simple foods. He's not doing a Gordon Ramsay or a, you know, Chopped.
He does what they can do, something that they can do.
Like, and the first one, he's like, oh, you like Tex-Mex? Here's guacamole. He doesn't say, you know, we're going to do a whole big taco bake. He's like, let's do guacamole. It's 4 ingredients. Here you go.
And it's funny, as you see the seasons go on, because, like, the first couple of seasons, you know, people didn't know who they were. They may have known them, but they didn't know. And now, I don't know, season 1, 4, 5, whatever it is, and people know who they are. Mm-hmm. And, like, this one woman's like, oh, I want you to teach me how to cook this. because I've always wanted to cook it. I've never been able to.
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean?
So it's not just them saying, well, I'll teach you this.
Yeah.
It's,
I want you to teach me to cook this. And he's like, absolutely. You know, like, it's just fun. Like, this one kid that they're helping, and they get him a financial planner because he's not good with his money and he's not good with bills. And it's like, look, we're going to remake this house for you and make it yours, but we want to make sure you can keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, like, yeah, I was terrible with bills. I was homeless for a while. I slept out of my car. So, you know, I don't want that to happen to you. So they get them a financial planner to help. I mean, like, things like that. Yep. Like, I don't know. They do a great job. They don't – like, when Tan's changing people's wardrobes, he's not forcing clothes on them. He wants what's going to make them comfortable, but he wants to enhance what they're wearing.
Right.
And show them, hey, you can wear this and look good.
And he'll say, you know, yeah, I picture you in these colors. And they're like – and he's like, okay, we don't have to. We can do something else.
Yeah.
But he'll definitely say Crocs are – the worst yes thing in the world.
Oh, they are. Yeah. But he'll also say, like, but just try it on for me
yep
and see it.
Yep.
And if you still don't like it, we're good.
Oh my God, this fits so good.
Yeah.
I picked up a few things from him.
Well, nice. Honestly, that, I mean, a couple weeks ago, that episode last week where I talked about it, where he was talking to the big guy and he's like, you need to wear clothes that fit you. You'll feel better. You'll look better, blah, blah, mm-hmm blah. So, like, as I went down to – I stopped at Rennie's to look for polo shirts. I had a few minutes to kill before they closed. And my pants that I love that I buy that I bought the big and tall store last year, mm-hmm, they sell there.
Oh.
The Lee Extreme Motion pants, but they don't have big and tall sizes. The biggest size they have is not in the big and tall section on the Lee website. But I bought them. I brought them home, and they fit.
Nice.
Super fucking pumped.
Did they fit well?
Oh, they did.
Nice.
Actually, I had a little bit of room. So they weren't even like, I can do this. It right was like, holy shit, they're on and they fit me.
That's proper awesome.
So I went online and Lee's having spent $100, get $30 off sale, yada, yada. So I bought another pair of work pants and two pair of shorts. And I'm like, oh, it's like $82. And Kate's like, just do it. So I bought them. I ordered a shirt from Walmart that was $10, a polo. And I got it and it fit awesome. So I ordered two more of those and those have already come. So like, I just need to buy a pair of jeans now. But I have shorts and work pants that actually fit me proper. They're three sizes smaller than awesome what I was wearing. And I got shirts that fit me proper. So, yeah, it really is. You feel better.
It makes a difference.
It does make a difference. Yep. It makes a big difference, you know.
When you feel like you're not swimming and stuff.
Yeah.
The only thing that he's – I still never – just for me, when they do the button-up shirt – but it's supposed to be like a casual, and they tuck it just in the front
French
and in
the back. Yes, he loves the French tuck.
I know he loves the French tuck. I don't like it. I've never looking at people with it, I'm like, I just don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not much of a fan of that either.
No.
Well, that's great. Wait till you catch up.
Yeah.
Which you will easily.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I did 8 episodes this week.
If you go on Netflix, there's a couple of bonus episodes, a little bit shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've seen them.
Yep.
Okay, they're not part of the regular seasons. They're right in, like, the other video section.
Well, I know, like, I'm on season 1, so it, like, lists all the episodes, and then it's got other ones down below. Some of them are just, like, a minute or two, but I saw one of them's, like, 20 minutes long.
Yeah,
so
I think they're in Australia or something for that one.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. And then they have the Japan one,
mm-hmm,
which is okay, but it's a lot of stuff lost in translation between the cultures of Japan
imagine
and the cultures of...
I got to say, though, one of the ones that I really thought was in poor taste was... I think it was the 3rd episode where the guy's a cop.
Yeah.
And Karamo's the one driving the vehicle and he gets pulled over by his partner, but nobody knew at this point that the guy was a cop.
Oh.
So they all get pulled over and Karamo's like driving and the guy's like, where's your license? He's like, I don't have it with me. What do you mean you don't have it with you? Well, we're shooting a show. He's like, I'll be right back. And then they're all sitting there. They're like, I don't like this. I don't like this. And he's like, I'm not feeling really comfortable. And the guy's like, you want to step out of the vehicle, please? They're all like, I don't want you to step out of the vehicle. I know probably it was planned and it was probably for the show's benefit. But at the same time, it was a little bit rough to watch given everything that's going on now. I know 3 years ago it was still going on, but it wasn't as predominant as it is.
I bet you if that was new now, that part probably would have been edited out.
Yeah.
A lot of it would have been edited out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that.
I remember the episode.
Yeah. I liked that later on he had a conversation with the guy and he was like, look, I'll be honest with you. When we were at your house, I wanted nothing to do with your ass. I was like, they can deal with him. I don't want to. He goes, but now that I've gotten a chance to talk to you and I see that you're a real guy, this has done a lot to bridge the gap. So I appreciated that. But yeah, other than that, it was, whew.
But there's a lot of great feel-good moments on the show.
Yes, there are.
I like the – and it's funny when you deal with
– you can't fix ugly.
Yes. The stereotypical – like you see someone that you're surprised that they're so open and welcoming of of these five guys doing this makeover on them because you
the religious couple there.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I like the one old guy was like, so are you the husband or the wife? And they just laugh. Doesn't always work that way. Yeah. You know, like just, I don't know. It's yeah. good.
That's good.
Good. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, I really do.
I watched episode 3 of A Toy Store Near You.
Yes. What'd you find out?
Did you watch it?
I have not.
Okay. This one's in Leicester. It's called Leicester Vintage Toys, I believe, and it's in Leicester, England.
Okay.
Quality-wise, it was a bit better than the other two because this guy must just have better camera equipment because it seems like they're filming it themselves.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely like a kind of a low-budget show, but it works. Mm-hmm. But no, again, dealing with COVID-19, how he's dealing with his shop and the regular customers, and it was cool. If I was ever in Leicester, England, I would go to the shop type of thing.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed it. It's fun to watch. It's 20 minutes, and yeah. Oh, we're watching America's Got Talent.
Yes, you do like that show.
Yeah.
Not so much?
Nothing huge stood out in the most recent episode we watched.
Terry Crews. He's huge.
He is. And he did a thing with his shirt off. Anyhow, what are you watching?
I watched the first episode of two different Amazon originals.
Okay.
One is Hannah, which is...
Based on the movie.
Based on the movie.
I've seen a lot of the second seasons coming up, yada, yada.
And that's why I started watching.
How was it?
Dark.
Yeah. Oh, it's supposed to be.
Filmed dark. But yeah. You know, it's basically the first episode... is the first beats of the movie. You know, there's a man and a woman who are escaping this place with a little baby. The car crashes, the woman dies, the man takes off into the woods. He raises the girl to know multiple different languages. Don't ever trust humans other than me. I'm the only one that you can trust. But of course, you know, she reaches teenage years and decides to explore a little bit outside because he's got all the trees marked. Like you can't go beyond this area because he knows that people are looking for him even this many years later. And, she meets a teenage boy and, you know, kind of talks to him a little bit and finds out a little bit about the outside world. She's never seen a cell phone or anything. And, he reports that he's seen her. The agency comes with their helicopters, dad and her take off. And then he turns around and he's like, you know, you go away. Stay hidden. He's like, remember what I told you. And like they had it all scripted. Like he had all these plans in place so that basically he knew if they ever caught her.
Right.
He turned around and ran back and, you know, got taken out, we assume. It was off camera. But she was calling out. She was like, help me, help me. He took me. He said that I could never get away. Like basically playing off that she was the victim in all this because that's how he had set it up. He's like, this is the only way that they'll take you in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how the first episode ends is, you know, she's been captured by these people, but they think she's a victim type of thing. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's keeping my interest. The other one, though, is more interesting to me, honestly. It's called The Feed, and it kind of flew under my radar, but it showed up as, you know, an Amazon original series. And the concept, they're hour-long episodes, so it's a little daunting. But the concept is... It's the near future, and all of your social media is inside your eyeball. Like, it's embedded in your head.
There was, like, an episode of Black Mirror that was similar to that, I believe. Yeah.
Yep. So you have your feed, and we get to see different variations on it. Like, you know, at one point, there's a guy. It opens up with the creator of the feed and his wife, who the wife is the mother of the Stark children.
Right.
And the father is Ares from Wonder Woman, or... Lupin, Remus Lupin from Harry Potter, if you'd rather. They're marrying off their firstborn son and big, glorious event. But, like, you see one person, he's checking this girl out, and you see it scroll through his eye, like, all these different faces, and then hers comes up, and it's grayed out. He's, like, tapping his head, like, where's your feed? And she's like, no, shaking her head, like, I'm not. You get the idea that there's a resistance, people who don't like the feed. Mm-hmm. So they're fighting back against it. You get to see that the youngest son is a psychotherapist that deals primarily with people who have feed issues. So like the kid that's in his office has like, you get to see from their point of view and he's got like 30 different windows. Some of them are porn. Some of them are YouTube videos, just all these different things that he's watching at the same time. And they all kind of float around in little bubbles. And sometimes they'll be connected to each other because it's like, you know, because of this, you might like this.
Yeah.
But he's got like 30 of them going at the same time, and he's just sitting there like taking it all in. Of course, nobody else can see it. Nobody else can hear it, just him. But he's like, the world's just too crazy if I don't do this. And so the shrink is like, turn them off. Just turn them all off. He's like, I don't think I can do that. He's like, just turn them all off. So he turns them all off, and he starts having a seizure. And then he's like, all right, go on, go on. So he turns it on. It's a very interesting world. The hook is that people are starting to have psychotic breaks. They're like at the wedding in the beginning, this one server girl, like her feet starts glitching out. And then she comes out on the floor and is holding the son hostage with a knife. And she keeps saying, I can't turn it off. I can't turn it off. It's so dark. It's so dark. Why can't I turn it off? He won't stop talking. And it happens to a couple other people. Towards the end of the first episode, everybody, the feed gets hacked, air quotes, and everybody gets the same thing. And it's all these videos of atrocities, you know, Nazis, malnourished children, slaughterhouses, just overlaid. And they can't turn it off. It's like forced into the
Suck.
Yeah. And like one guy at the restaurant has a heart attack from it because it's just so much overwhelming. So I'm very interested in this, actually, because like you said, it's similar to a Black Mirror kind of thing, but it's spread out over several episodes. So yeah, I'm going to keep going with that one. You might like it, actually. I almost sent you a message, but it was like late last night that I was watching it. And
well,
I was like,
you did tell me that you started watching and it was interesting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to tackle it. I might.
If it gets to the point where I'm like, holy shit, Mike has to see this, I'll be sure to let you know. But
I might tackle it. I was really, really, really considering watching 000.
Which one's that?
It's 8 episodes. It's about a drug trafficking. And it's about this drug shipment going from point A to point B and the shit that happens along the way and how her brother's going to ride with the whole thing. I've seen the commercial come up a bunch on Amazon, it's an Amazon Prime show, and it just looks good. I might try that one out. I actually started to try to watch Bosch today because I loved the first two seasons. So I decided I'm going to watch season 3. I figured let's watch one episode. And straight away in the episode, I recognized the theme of the season was going to be that Bosch was going to be suspected of murder. And I was like, I don't want to deal with this horseshit. Like,
gotcha.
I shut it off. Maybe, it's like I didn't watch 7500 because I didn't find myself in the right frame of mind where I wanted to sit and watch that movie, that scenario.
Because you already know what the scenario is and you already know how it's going
to
play out.
Yeah, and I really need, and it's like, for me nowadays, when it comes to watching a show, like, I'm going to invest in, like, that season of Bosch. It's like, I don't want to deal with the horseshit of his being under suspicion of murder and arrested and undercut and this and that, especially when I know it's going to work out in the end.
So I
just can't deal with that.
My speaking of shows that you want to watch, you don't know about, my sister told me that she's watching season 2 now of The Order on Netflix.
Yeah.
About werewolves and stuff. She says it's great. So I've got to add that to my list. Also, every one of my feeds has been blowing up about the third and final season of Dark on Netflix. And I seem to recall I tried to start watching this a while back.
It's the French show.
German.
German?
Yep. They say watch it with German with the subtitles on. They say don't do the dubbed version. It's terrible.
I feel like I thought it was French, but maybe it is German.
All I know is
maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Like, I'm seeing all these headlines that are like, this is the best show that you're not watching. If you like sci-fi at all, you need to start watching this show. You will not believe how good this show is. Like, it's just, it seems overwhelming that this many people love this show so much.
Maybe I was watching a different show.
Well, apparently there's 3 seasons now.
Yeah, okay, I definitely did not watch this show. It was another show that had Dark in the title, but it was a French show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or maybe it was Black was in the title.
I don't know.
It was really good, though. I was enjoying it, but I kind of fell out of it. But it was like the French version of it was White Zone, but like the UK, but it was like Obvio. It was just, yeah.
Gotcha.
So she's loving it, though?
Well, she's loving The Order. Everybody else in the world seems to be loving Dark.
Mm.
And they keep talking about it over and over again. So I gotta break down and start watching.
Episodes are 44 to 73 minutes.
What? That's a big disparity.
Probably the like season premiere.
I was going to say, if it's like 44 to 50 or 56, I can kind of understand. But 44 to 70.
First season's 10 episodes. Second season, third season, 8 episodes.
daunting.
No, it just, like it you does were saying, feel
we
daunting.
We don't have a lot of shows right now.
I know. I know. But like, I think that's why I've really been into movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's a complete story.
Yep.
Whereas I'm watching Hannibal. But then again, after this week, we'll be done upload because there's only two episodes left and we're burning through those.
Yep.
Episode.
What did you think of this one?
I mean, I liked it. It was episode 8.
Shopping Other Digital Afterlife.
Yeah. So Lucy, who I fucking hate, tells Nora that she's being suspended because she's been hanging out with Nathan. And when Nathan's in, like, the beauty salon, the view of memory, he wants to watch a memory from there of them together.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, which, okay, is hilarious when he's like, don't you just want to walk on water and go pet that duck? Dude, you're in heaven. I can just flip a button and you can do it. And he's like, really? Well, flip the button. And she's like, okay, I did it. And he just walks right into the water. I laugh so hard.
Yep.
And then, of course, she does the old pull her in the water trick. She's like, you know, I'm sitting at my desk perfectly dry, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But he says her name, and the beauty salon person's like, how do you know her name? Huh? I don't know. I got to go.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she tattles.
Yeah.
And
because technically she's just a computer program.
Right. So Lucy's been suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Nathan calls for his angel, it's Lucy and
Nora's avatar.
And he confesses he has feelings for her and everything like that. And, you know, she responds as, like, a normal person would respond.
Yeah, she's like, oh, that's nice, but,
yeah.
You know.
She
can't really do it.
She's just the bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, should I get a pixie cut? I hate her.
Yeah.
So self-absorbed and just, you know what I think shitty I hate about manager. Her the most? Is that she's just another shitty manager that somehow got a promotion that doesn't deserve to have it.
Yep.
And I just hate, and there's too many of those people in the world.
There sure are.
There's way too many of those fucking people in the world.
So
Nathan's pissed or hurt. His feelings are hurt. So he asks his mom to help him find a different place to live.
Mm-hmm. Which this was a riot because basically he has to be uploaded onto a hard drive.
Yep.
And it's a hard drive with an encaser. It's basically like half of a tower computer.
Yeah.
And I love how the guy's like, he's like, you know, you got to be careful. I hope that she gets a protective case because, you know, this will be the only copy of you. And he's like, oh, I'm sure she'll be fine. And she's talking to the salesman guy. And he's like, do you want the protective case? She's like, no. And he's like, good. They're bullshit anyway.
But I have an issue with this technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's the future. They can upload people's brains, and that's what they have. It's not just a fucking thumb drive.
I know.
Or it's just not on the cloud somewhere.
I know. I felt the same way.
I was just like, what? Is this like we're watching, you know, like Star Trek, where you have all this future technology, but
they still use rocks and sticks?
Right, yeah. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was way too big and bulky, and it looked like... It didn't even look like a hard drive. It looked like a graphics card.
Yeah, exactly. So... I like when Alicia sees that Nathan's left Lakeview, and she's like, is this my business?
Because she's in so much shit all the time anyway.
And then she calls Nora and tells Nora.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nora's like, I guess I got to fly to L.A. from New York. Would you mind flying, like, express economy or lower economy or something like that?
It was, like, the grossest form.
And she's like, I guess I can last the 30-minute flight. The flying's gotten fast. Yep. And when you see her sitting on the plane, you see feet dangling. So it's like there's two legs. Like, and then like somehow she's in the seat with a seat in front of her and behind her recline.
Yeah. Into her. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she wants to go to get to Ingrid because she thinks that Ingrid, like all they know is that he left.
Yes.
And so she figures that Ingrid probably has him.
Yeah. And when she gets to Ingrid, she has no idea.
Right.
So she figures out.
But Ingrid's like, oh, this is so nice. You guys really do care for your clients.
Yeah, yeah. So Ingrid tracks down Nathan's mom. They go to that travel agency where he is. He sees Nora behind Ingrid and is like, I guess I'll stay at Lakeview. Yeah.
I love the travel agent, though.
Yes.
He's like, oh, it's not VR. It's IR.
Yeah. I mean, I sure converted the office like 10 years ago. I really thought this was going to take off. It didn't. We can get you a 90% discount if you buy 100 gears. Ooh, mom! The graphics are shitty. No one wants to go here.
I like that when they plug him in, he pops up in a light bulb, just his head.
And there's
every place they go has a sponsor. It's like the Instagram Nat Geo Safari Land.
Yeah, nobody goes here.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, he's convinced to stay at Lakeview. So Ingrid takes his hard drive and walks outside, and some guy steals it from her and runs down the road, and he's running, and then he chucks it in a fountain.
Yeah.
And Ingrid's losing her mind.
Okay, to her credit, she freaks out, crawls in there. She's sad that he's in there.
But it's more of her investment, because we know that she is a selfish bitch.
Well, but see, I don't know about that, because
she was considering turning him off so that she could pay her bills.
Fair enough. But if this happens now, she is turned off.
Mm.
He is turned off now. He doesn't cost her any money, and it's not her fault.
True.
But instead, she genuinely seemed upset.
I don't know. A couple weeks ago, we wrote her off.
So. Oh, I know we did, but that's why I'm confused about her character.
But actually, I like how Nora just, like, she lets it go for a little while. She doesn't immediately say it. She just lets him.
Yeah.
And then she says to his mom, by the way, this is the real him. I gave her a fake broken one.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I like you.
Yeah. I mean, we could tell her, let's just wait a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And while she was at Ingrid, she found a box that said Nathan stuff that a plant was sitting on. So she looked through it, and she sees a T-shirt that she smells. Like, yeah. And the rest of kind of his stuff. And there's nothing really, like, we didn't find a thumb drive. We didn't find anything to do with his business or anything. And also when and back at the salon, Nathan's looking at a memory that's all broken up, and he says, hey, how come this is broken up like this? And she's like, I don't know. I've never actually seen a broken memory like this.
Right.
Anyhow, cut to Nathan's sitting on the dock again, and Nora shows up. And basically she tells him, look, the only reason why I'm back is because Ingrid gave them such a glowing review.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably should talk to her before you say anything to me.
And because he tells her, he's like, you know, I confessed to you. And she's like, Lucy was in my avatar. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, so before you say what you were going to say.
Yeah. And then she goes, but in the meantime, and she steps on the water. Come on. And he went right into the drink again.
Right into
it. I loved it.
Yep.
I love that he fell for that. And then this is what's weird. Cut to, she's laying on her bed with VR goggles on. So she's not even at work visiting him. And she's got his T-shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'm actually pretty excited to watch episodes 9 and 10 and finish this story out and see what happens.
Yep.
To see if they end up together or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, otherwise, I just got movies now.
I'll give you quick recaps on the other shows. Love Life still continues to be really good.
The Anna Kendrick one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one was an interesting one because, like I said, every episode is titled after the guy that she's dating in that episode. This one was the one that I had seen back in the day. It's Magnus Lund Part 1. And then we're going to have another one, and then Magnus Lund Part 2 will come the week after. So Magnus Lund is this guy who's classy. He's bohemian. He's a chef. He's got tattoos. They look like badly drawn tattoos, though. Like when he's sitting there with his shirt off, they really look bad. Like maybe they were done by an 8-year-old type of thing.
Yep.
But anyway, so, you know, he's charming. Everybody loves him. She basically was just trying to have a bunch of one-night stands. She had guys coming in and going, and then Magnus kind of stuck around because she liked him so much. And so they start to really grow close, and they go way upstate, and he's talking about having a farm and having some animals and some kids, and she's loving it. And everything seems to be going good. And then her mom comes to town to visit with her brother. And, you know, Magnus charms the pants off of them and everything's great. But then Magnus gets fired from his job because his boss tells him that he's been comping too many meals and he's too inconsistent. And we get to see the other side of Magnus, which is him being depressive and alcoholic and withdrawn and disappearing for a day at a time without saying where he's going, and having text chats with the waitress from the restaurant that, you know, is just his friend. Why can't I have friends now? And he ends the episode by basically doing the manic depressive thing where he says, I went away and I figured out what I want, and all I want is you, and all I want is you, and proposes marriage to her.
Zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. Just shake your rump.
But honestly, I am really enjoying the show more than I expected to. So,
all right.
I watch more Stargirl.
Okay.
It's getting more into the teenage drama shit. Mm-hmm. She's putting together her Justice Society based on the trinkets from the old Justice Society. The kid who is now the new Our Man, his parents actually, we got to see the flashback of them escaping the Injustice Society because they were coming after him and they were like, look, he called his brother, you know, the original Our Man called his brother and he was like, look, you're taking my son. I put all the paperwork so that it looks like he's your son. They'll never know that he's mine, but you just need to watch over him. There's $50,000. It's your life now. And the brother's like, what are you talking about? And it really fucked him over because he was like a Silicon Valley whiz kid. And now he has to work on a farm with raising his brother's kid. And Solomon Grundy crushed their car and sent them careening into a tree to kill them. Our Man's power is weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's an hourglass that hangs around his neck. And when he flips it over for 1 hour out of the day, he has super strength.
He keep flipping it back and forth.
Not that I'm aware of. Once it goes,
flip it over, kick some ass for 5 minutes, flip it back. I got 55 minutes to go.
That would be great. They didn't say that. And it's coded to his DNA.
Sand in an hourglass doesn't work that way. I get it.
Yeah. It's coded to his DNA, so that's why it works on this kid, you know, who's now old enough. We also got the new Dr. Midnight, which is the nerdy girl who's been following them around, and she got Dr. Midnight's glasses, which are the back computer in glasses form. Anything that they look at, they can tell you about it. They can tell you chemical compositions, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Okay.
Crossing Swords continues to be funny as shit, but you can't watch it with anybody else
around. Yeah, dude. No. Shit. Yeah, I learned that after episode one.
Yep. And The Great was actually even darker this week, but it's getting better. It's getting better as it's getting darker. This time they introduced a printing press so that anybody could print things that they wanted, like have a picture that you really like and you can now print it, or, you know, a little pamphlet about something.
But no one can read.
Some of them could. Mostly they did pictures. Yeah. But a lot of satirical pictures started coming out, and it became this big fight because in those days, the church controlled all printing presses. They controlled all printing materials, and now they're putting it in the hands of everybody else. Church was not happy about that, and they basically told Nicholas, they were like, you will, if you continue down this road, the church will abandon you. They will say that they don't trust you. Sucks to be you. So, yeah, I'm still enjoying it. That's all I got for shows, though.
So you watched some movies?
I did. How many did you watch? 17?
5.
Wow. I only got 3.
We had a family movie night.
4, technically.
We had a family movie night at Kate's.
So did I.
Cousin's house. Mm-hmm. And we watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Nice.
I haven't seen it in like 20 years. It was really good.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen any of the sequels.
Really? You're not missing anything.
I don't think I am. And I hear there's a remake coming out.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, and Rick Moranis is back.
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah.
Not in his original role.
No. But, I mean, he's back from acting.
I think Josh Gad's going to be in this one as well.
He's back from his retirement from acting after his wife died.
Right. So.
I watched one new movie, and the other three movies are all classics.
Okay. I watched one that I've seen before and 3 new ones.
All right. So which one did you see before?
Well, after your message to me the other night, I grabbed my buddy Kelly, and we headed up to the Skowhegan Drive-In.
Oh, you did?
We watched The Invisible Man, followed by The Hunt.
Nice. So you went and saw those.
Yep. I love The Invisible Man.
Invisible Man's fantastic, isn't it?
It's so good. Yeah. And watching it again, it was so funny, too, because I knew the parts that would jump you.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there, and I'm waiting, and then all of a sudden she'd be like, ah! I'm like, yeah.
See, and that's why I told you about the film, because I knew you had mentioned that'd be a great double feature to go see. Yep. And, yeah.
Like, right from the beginning, when she kicks the dog bowl, you know, I knew that was coming because everything's so silent. And then quang, and she's like, oh, Jesus. Yep. We're in for a good one. It was so good.
What'd you think of The Hunt?
Okay. So I don't want to spoil The Hunt, but I want to explain The Hunt.
I mean, I've seen it.
Oh, you have? Yeah. Oh, okay.
I didn't talk about it because you hadn't seen it.
Yeah. So for those who haven't seen it or who are wondering about it, The Hunt is interesting. I loved it.
I did too.
I thought it was great because it was ridiculous.
Oh, it was absurd.
It was totally over the top, ridiculous. And the controversy around this movie was that everybody who saw the previews saw that people were being hunted.
Yeah.
And they all seemed to be white people who all had a conservative bent.
Yeah.
So they were basically, the premise seemed to be that they were liberals hunting conservatives and killing them.
Yeah.
And people lost their shit. Fox News was talking about it. And, you know, Damon Lindelof, to his credit, was like, how about you watch the movie before you start judging it? You've only seen the trailers. You don't know what it's about.
Right.
Well, on the one hand, that's exactly what it was.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they did a phenomenal job of painting both sides as fucking wackadoos.
Yes. Yes, they did.
The liberals were completely out of their fucking minds. I loved all of the checking. Like when he's like, hey, guys. And she's like, whoa, why'd you say guys? I'm sorry. I genderfied that improperly. Hey, everybody. Yes, that's better. Thank you.
Do we want to spoil the movie?
Why not?
Okay. So basically the premise of the movie is these people are having this open chat conversation. One of them makes a joke about hunting and killing people this weekend. Oh, I can't wait to go to the hunt this weekend and kill this fucking conservatives or whatever.
Yeah.
And like that chat
deplorables.
Got... Deplorables. Deplorables, yeah. The chat got leaked and on and on and on. And basically people believe they were actually doing this. She lost her job. Other people lost their jobs because of this. And it was never... That's not actually what happened at all.
Right.
They were never actually doing that. So she created this hunt where they were going to actually do this thing now.
Yeah.
So she trained,
yep.
got all these people together that were in the group chat together, plus a consultant.
And then, Hollywood consultant.
Yeah. And then they basically went.
Tears of the Sun.
But he was the actual military guy.
That's right.
But then they took it a step further and they went online and they found anyone that shit talked to them and kidnapped them and brought them to, they were in another country.
Yeah, Croatia.
Yeah, and shit talked them and brought them to this other country to hunt them and kill them.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah, because as she explains it later, she's like, this was all fake.
Yeah.
But all of you made it real.
Yes.
Because you kept posting about it and you kept saying that it was real and it became real.
Yeah.
Because everybody knew that it was real, and it was talking about that whole mass hysteria kind of thing, or grabbing hold of one single idea and running with it to that point where it's like, well, now it's out there. Now it's real. So she's like, fuck it. If it's going to be real, if this is what my life is going to be like, I'll make it fucking real.
Yep.
It was so over the top, but hilarious. So without like fully going beat for beat through the movie.
Right.
I got to say, like, in the beginning, I'm like, oh, Emma Roberts. I fucking hate Emma Roberts. I'm not a big fan of hers. I every role that she does, she looks like she hates everybody. Like, she's sickened by the smell of everything.
I love the character name in this movie is Yoga Pants, by the way.
Yeah. And so these deplorables, air quotes, all wake up, you know, in a field, and they all have, like, these... gags on these horse bridles.
Ball gags.
Yeah.
No, they're ball gags.
No. They have like a bar. It's
a bit?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's basically like
It is a horse bridle.
And they're locked to the back of their heads. They all kind of walk out of the woods together and they find this big crate and one person starts opening it up and they're like, fuck that. And they, you know, they think it might be trapped or something. And there's weapons inside.
Yep.
So they all arm themselves. They find keys on the lid of the box and they're like, okay, now what do we do? And then bam, shot right in the head.
Yep.
Emma Roberts' head explodes. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to love this movie.
And then they kill Justin Hartley immediately.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's Justin Hartley. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. But they start getting killed. And then they start running off, of course. Eddie Gilpin. Awesome. That's Crystal Creasy. And basically, she's like some Southern, one of those like Southern calm girls. She apparently had some sort of military background.
Couple of tours in Afghanistan.
Yeah, and she commences to surviving and killing a bunch of people.
Because she's not even at the box when they open it up. She goes off in her own direction. She makes a little makeshift compass in the woods and then starts heading north.
And she essentially, you know, shows up at the store, which is hilarious.
We should say, too, that all of these deplorables, all these conservatives, again, everyone in this movie... they were almost comically written, like on both sides.
Yes.
So, like, one girl falls into a punji pit, and she's got, like, a stake sticking out of her stomach.
Yeah.
And Ike Barinholtz
Yeah.
goes over, and he, like, pulls her out. Oh, one, two, three. And he pulls her out, And they're standing there like, okay, okay, we're going to be all right. And then a grenade lands near them. And they're like, oh no, that's what it was. It was Justin Hartley, and he steps on a landmine.
Yes.
And he's like, oh shit. And they blow up. And then Ike Barinholtz comes over, and the woman, like, her bottom half is gone. One of her arms is gone, but she's still alive, impaled back in the pit.
Yes.
And he's got a gun, and she's like, give me the gun. Just shoot me. Just shoot me. And he's like, I don't know if I can. And she grabs the gun. She's like, give me that, you fucking snowflake. I'll show you how this is done. And blows her own brains out. They are over the top. Every one of them, you know, spouts rhetoric about my constitutional rights, and I know how to use a gun. And then on the other side, they're completely pussies.
Yes.
They are the snowflakes. They are the liberals that we hear, you know, the libtards. And it was definitely a political statement being made over and over and over again.
Yes.
And just for the parody's sake, I love it. So the store.
Well, no. So there's a store this couple's running, and it's a fake store. And basically it's to lure people in and then kill them. And when Betty Gilpin's character gets there, like, they charged her the wrong price for cigarettes or something.
She's like, in Arkansas, cigarettes are only $6 a pack.
Yeah.
You done fucked up.
And kills them both.
Yeah.
And determines that the place is poisoned because obviously these people are dead. Goes and hides. I mean, I don't know. She just was awesome. And my favorite part of this whole thing is it gets to the end and it's Betty Gilpin's character, Crystal Creasy, and Hilary Swank's character, Athena Stone, who is the person that made the comment about killing the deplorables and then set this all up because her life was ruined by these fucking people who took a joke and made it a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Athena Stone's telling Crystal Creasy who she is and her history and why she's a piece of shit and the things she said and on and on. And Crystal's just listening and she just goes, that's not me.
Yep.
There's another Crystal Creasy in my town. You done fucked up.
It was so perfect. Because, the whole time she was just like monotone.
Yeah.
Never got worked up. She's chasing that train with Ethan Suplee. You know, she's like, how fast can you run? He's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, a train slows down the most on a curve. We're not going to get it unless we're running. So hope you can keep up.
Yeah.
Like, she was just so deadpan. You done fucked up.
Yeah. And then they commence to fighting. A violent, violent fight to the death, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I love the fact that she took the grilled cheese and the dog with her.
Yes.
Although,
I And put her dress on. Put her fancy dress on.
Yes.
And then went outside and got on the plane. And the people on the plane see her and she goes, let's just go home. Is that going to be a problem? They all go, nope.
No, she says, the people that you done work for, they're dead now.
Yeah.
This going to be a problem? They're like, no.
Nope. And then she says to the flight attendant, have a seat.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's like, we have some great caviar. She goes, you ever have caviar? She's like, I don't think I'm allowed. Well, you are fucking now.
Yeah. It was good.
It was good. I liked it for it being a parody, for it basically saying that both sides, when you get to the extreme, are stupid. Like, they're over the top ridiculous.
How was the turnout at the drive-in?
Packed.
Nice.
So this was what was interesting. The drive-in gates open at 7. The movie says that it starts at 8:45. It didn't start till 9.
It was too light out. Yeah.
And even then, it was tough. And those first scenes of The Invisible Man are dark.
Oh, yeah.
So it was hard. Like, it's all, you know, she's laying in bed and trying to. So anyway, I miscalculated and got there at 6:20. Gates open at 7. So I pulled in, and I was the only one there. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to sit here in front of the – because there's no gate.
Yeah.
Like, there's the no ticket. Gate.
Yeah. Ticket window, but yeah.
So I just sat there, and I'm like, I'm just going to sit here. And then somebody pulled in behind me, and I'm like, I hope they don't honk their horn or anything because I'm not moving. And no, people lined up behind me.
Yeah.
A couple of times we saw people go out around the other side, but they were dropping off employees.
Yeah.
7 o'clock, well, 7:01, woman comes walking right down. She had a little cash box with her, and she's like, hey, come on up. And I had bought them online, so I had the tickets on my phone, but you have to, like, scan one, swipe, scan the next one.
See, Pride's Corner does $15 for the carload, up to 4 people. And
but they do one film, right?
They're only doing one film, yeah. Which
this one was $9 per person for adults, 3 for kids, but
two films. And they're doing one film because they're trying to cut down people using bathrooms and et cetera, et cetera. And I completely understand.
This one, they shut down the bathrooms, but they had 4 porta potties over on the.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ, going on their Facebook page and watching the political discourse about people running their mouths in both directions. What? They're saying that if I get sick, I'm just fucking, right. Don't go.
Right.
You know?
So, Pride's Corner is they're screening Empire Strikes Back, July 11, 12. Are you going to go?
I don't know.
I'm going.
Yes.
Kanan's wicked excited. We bought our ticket. We're definitely going. We're going Saturday night, and they've been doing a Saturday night midnight movie, like a horror, like when they did Evil Dead when I was camping.
Right.
Anyway, so depending on what the midnight movie is, we may go. We may stay for that as well. They haven't announced it yet. Okay. This coming 4th of July, they're showing The Beyond, another Grindhouse releasing film. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, I was just kind of curious because the number one movie in the country last weekend at the box office was Jurassic Park.
I know. Which, deservedly so.
I mean, sincerely, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I use Feedly for my news feeds, and so it aggregates from different sites that I follow, like GameSpot and IGN and stuff like that. And occasionally it'll glitch with comicbook.com for some reason. It'll grab headlines or articles that are from like 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I'll see these things pop up and I'm like, what are they talking about? You know, new trailer out for this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That movie came out like 2 years ago. And I'll look and it just grabbed the wrong one. So I think of that when I see like Jurassic Park tops the box office this week. I'm like, nah, somebody grabbed the wrong headline. Nope.
Nope. It really did.
It really did.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of crazy?
It is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it really is.
So what else you got for movies?
My dad gave me a $25 gift card for my birthday, so I bought Shout Factory's release of The Burning. If you haven't seen it, it's a 1981 classic. It's the DVD Blu-ray combo. It came out in 1981. It didn't do well in the theaters then. This was kind of like Harvey Weinstein's first flick. This is when he was really trying to start his own movie company. So I guess him and Bob Weinstein and a couple others, they sat around and they decided to make a movie based on the urban legend in New York where they're from of Cropsey. So they made this movie. Harvey Weinstein's the producer of it. But it has – so this is –
before all the bad
stuff. Yes, 1981. So this movie has the film debuts of Jason Alexander, Fisher Stevens, and Holly Hunter.
Wow.
And Rick Wakeman, which is a name I don't recognize off the top of my head. Apparently, he's a keyboardist.
Okay.
Rick Wakeman of the progressive rock band Yes composed the score. I don't know. It's a fun cult classic movie. Kids at a summer camp. I watched it in 2012 for the first time on Netflix. And I just really love the flick. And it hasn't been on Netflix in a while. And the Shout Factory release is a great release. And it was down to less than $18 on Amazon. So I picked it up because I just wanted to add that movie to my collection because it's the one I want to watch.
Thanks.
So I watched that because I got that in. It's only an hour and a half. Good shit. I watched Graduation Day on Amazon. It's another 1981 horror movie classic.
I'm sure I've seen it. My dad was a big fan of all those.
Yep. I don't really recognize anyone that's in it other than Vanna White has a secondary bit character.
Weird.
Yeah. But basically, a high school girl gets a blood clot and dies at a high school track meet.
Hmm.
2 months later, her sister comes home from the Navy on leave for her graduation because she's going to accept some sort of her sister's trophy and diploma. Someone starts killing off the track team. It's on Amazon. It's fun to watch. You should watch it.
Okay.
An hour and a half. Like I said, hour and a half. There's some boobies in it. Which is always nice.
Well, it was 81.
Right. But, like, the girl that got to play the gymnast clearly know how to do an uneven bar routine because you can see it's her the whole time. It's not like when the guy's doing the pole vault and it cuts away and you just see, like,
right.
You can see it's her. Like, she's actually doing this routine. So that was kind of cool. I enjoyed it. There was another one. There's another movie that came out a few years later called Fatal Games. I haven't watched that one, but it was kind of based, came out in 84, kind of a ripoff of this one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if maybe you saw that one or confusing the two, but I don't know. I enjoyed the movie.
I've probably seen them both. Like I said, my dad was huge into those kind of movies.
It was a big flick. I mean, when it came out in 81,
$250,000 budget, but they did like $23-24 million at the box office, which is huge for 81. So, I mean, it was a popular movie. I followed that up, that double feature that night, by watching The Slumber Party Massacre.
Nice.
I haven't seen
the original.
The original. Part 2 sucks.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah. Can be said for a lot of Part 2s.
And Part 3, I don't know if that was any good or not. Part 2 is almost like a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
And I think when I initially watched Part 2, it's because it had Crystal Bernard in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe we'll see her boobs. No. No. The cover's misleading. There's no sexy nightgowns or anything. It's just, yeah. No, Slum Party Massacre, again, gratuitous nudity for no reason. Big shower scenes with all kinds of girls. So it's, you know, clearly an 80s horror flick.
Right.
Serial killer killing people with... Okay, so they didn't have battery-powered tools back then, so this guy had this big power drill he was killing people with that he had to stop to plug in, but you don't actually ever see him do it. But in my mind, I'm like, where'd he plug it into? He's in the back of a fucking van, you know? Yep. They didn't have battery packs back then. But yeah, I liked it a lot. I mean, again, it's a classic. What'd you watch? I got one more movie, but what else did you watch for movies?
Well, as I said, I had a family movie night.
Yeah.
Every now and then, you know, we'll either go to the theater. Can't do that right now.
Right.
So way back when the theaters were open and life was normal, my mom had kept saying that she really wanted me to go to the theater and see Ad Astra because it looked really good. Brad Pitt, Tommy Lee Jones came on HBO. I was like, let's get together. Let's sit down. Let's watch it. I have now watched that movie.
Oh, good. That explained that. That right there lets me know I don't need to.
No, you do not. No.
I've been on the fence about watching
it. No. No. It was not bad. It's a Brad Pitt movie, so it can't be bad. And it has Tommy Lee Jones, kind of. So,
but it was not good either, huh?
No. No. As she said, you know, my mother was like, I love this movie. And I was like, really? And she's like, yes, because I got to spend time with my kids. I'm like, okay. Fair enough. That's a good mom answer. But when I talked to her,
totally hear your mom saying that.
When
too.
I talked to her later about it, she's like, "So, what'd you think of that movie?" I said, "It was slow.
Yeah.
It was very artistic. A lot of scenes in space where they do the Firefly thing with no sound.
Yep.
But and they had a number of spots where it was meant to be like, you know." Right. Very big jump scare type things. But for the most part, as she then said, she's like, I kept waiting for something to happen. Like, I kept expecting there to be something to happen, and nothing ever happened. I was like, yeah, that's pretty much what I was getting at, too. So, yeah, don't bother with that, Astra.
Okay.
It's pretty, but pretty boring.
So I threw a movie on. Amazon original. It was actually released on June 26th, so I'm not going to give any great details because it just came out 3 days ago. Actually, it was Friday night. I was like, well, let's just see what this is about. And my wife got sucked into it, and we ended up watching the whole thing, and we just let Wesley sit on the couch till 9 o'clock playing Roblox or Minecraft, whatever he was playing, and then put him to bed then.
So it couldn't have been that bad.
No, it was really, really good, actually. It was the My Spy with Dave Bautista.
You know, I kind of want to watch that.
It's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's fun. There's some good humor in it. And yeah, it's a fun movie. Batista.
Good. I want to see that.
I was never a huge fan of Batista the wrestler.
I remember.
But I'm a huge fan of Batista the actor. Because he was fantastic in Guardians.
Yes.
And this is one of those.
Stuber.
Yeah. Oh my God. He was so great in Stuber.
Right.
But this is one of those movies where big, tough, badass CIA agent and little girl. You know, my wife akin it to Kindergarten Cop because it's the only thing she could think of.
Yep.
But yeah, it's one of those movies where, like, you know, like the Rock had the one with his daughter, but he's the football player. Or, anyways, you know, this is definitely a family comedy, kind of lighthearted. You know, there's some. Ken Jeong's also in it. He plays his boss.
Sold. I always add a new page for notes for the next week.
Yeah.
And I just created that page. And then under movies, I put My Spy to remind myself to watch it.
Okay.
So,
Christine Shaw plays his partner, Bobby.
She's a weird woman, isn't
she? Yeah, she is, but she's great in it. So, no, this was fun. We'll talk about, I'm going to leave it in my notes on this. We can talk about it next week. Yes. Well worth your time.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, well worth your time.
Awesome.
It's some good stuff. Batista's great in it.
My final movie?
Yep.
I had a friend who told me how phenomenal she enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to check it out anyway, so I watched Eurovision Song Contest. Saga of Fire.
God, I just don't even, there's like not even an inch of me that wants to even turn that on.
I really liked it.
Oh, really?
Yep. It had some good musical numbers. There wasn't really a villain in it. Well, I mean, there was, but you have to like Will Ferrell's kind of humor. And as I was watching it, I was like, I'm not sure if Michael liked this or not. It is a little bit, it's a lot goofy.
With Will Ferrell, I love Anchorman.
Yes.
And I like Step Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big fan of Ricky Bobby, though.
No.
You know what I mean? So it depends on what the humor is he's delivering.
The story here is that you get these two small kids, Lars and Sigrid. Okay. Lars is kind of withdrawn. Sigrid can't speak. We're talking like 6-7-year-old kids.
Yeah.
She can't speak. So Eurovision contest comes on one day while the family's sitting around the living room, and Lars comes out and he's just enthralled and he starts dancing and singing along. They're singing Waterloo and he's just, you know, ABBA. Sigrid comes out and she starts dancing too. And then, you know, we flash forward to now where they are a band and they have like a teenage kid who's their drummer, mm-hmm. and they do little gigs down at the bar. But basically, they live in Iceland in this little podunk fishing village. You know, it's completely just, it's the type of thing that you wouldn't even see in a tourism guide. You know, it'd be like, you're going to pass through here to get to someplace that you actually want to see.
Okay.
But since he saw that, his father, who is played by, and I keep wanting to call him Remington Steele. Okay. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
The other James Bond.
Yes. Blah, blah. Yes.
Pierce Brosnan. There we go.
Yes.
So Pierce Brosnan plays his father. And as he refers to him, his ridiculously handsome father, and everyone in town kind of makes these jokes because it's Pierce Brosnan, and he's got the full beard, and he's got the gray hair, and he looks gorgeous.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
And they kind of make jokes that, you know, pretty much every kid in town is probably his because he's had his way with all the women. And there's an ongoing joke throughout the movie where, you know, people will point to Sigrid and Lars, and they're like, so are you brother and sister? And she'll say, no, we're not brothers. And he's like, probably not. She's probably not my sister. But yeah, when he was a little kid that he was going to be a singer and he was going to win Eurovision Song Contest.
Sure.
And his father was like, stop dancing, stop singing, stop humiliating me and this family. And he's like, you'll never do that. So it's become kind of a thing for him. He will now do that. You find out real quickly that Sigrid is in love with him, but it's kind of unrequited. Like, he's focused on this and she wants to be with him. And the movie is long. It's over 2 hours
long. Yeah, I know. That's the other thing. It's daunting.
It is daunting long. I really enjoyed it, though. They had some good musical numbers. They had some good sing-alongs. The main rival guy is, I kept looking at him and I'm like, I've seen him somewhere. He played David on Legion.
Okay.
And now he's the Russian. But I really enjoyed it. It was fun. It was pretty uplifting. The humor was pretty good. Yeah.
Nice.
I definitely recommend it. If anybody has an inkling of watching this, watch it. It's fun. Well, you've closed up your laptop, so I can assume you have no trailers.
I have no trailers or news. Well, my news was Jurassic Park, number one movie in the box office.
So I sent you some trailers, Over the Moon.
Yes.
Over the Moon looks like a nice little animated family movie.
It does. It looks really good.
I sent that to my friend Kelly, and she's like, okay, I'll watch this later because Emma's here. That's her 6-year-old stepdaughter. I'm like, watch it with her.
Yeah.
It's a child's. She's like, I'm trying to put her to bed, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Now, I really want to get your take on this one.
Yeah.
The reboot of Unsolved Mysteries coming to Netflix.
Okay, so I'm excited, actually, because I loved Unsolved Mysteries. It scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah, that
Robert Stack was a big part of that reason, though. And he's not going to be in it, but they're not going to have any host.
Nope.
Which is interesting.
It almost looks more documentary.
Yes, it does. It looks less like Unsolved Mysteries and more like each episode is going to be about one story as opposed to multiple stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to hold judgment until I watch an episode.
Yes. Yep.
But I'm excited for the nostalgia of it, but we'll see when it comes back.
Yep, I agree. I watched a trailer that I don't think I sent to you. It's called Ava. And I was kind of on the fence about it. It's Jessica Chastain is a assassin killer who then has people turn on her.
Okay.
And try to kill her. So, looks okay.
Is that a in the theater movie?
Yep.
Is that a, okay.
I believe so. Although, what is an in the theater movie anymore? But while you're looking that up, Muppets Now.
Yeah. So, again, I don't really know what to think about Muppets Now. Wow. Ava came out in 2017? Oh, no, there's another one.
I was going to say, make sure it's the Jessica
Chastain. That's the one that came up first. Okay, here it is, yeah. Comes out September 25th, 2020. Oh, Gina Davis, John Malkovich.
Birthday. Yeah, John Malkovich is basically her handler and is like, you don't want to fuck with her.
Ava, a deadly assassin for a black ops organization who travels the globe doing high-profile hits. When a job goes wrong, Ava is forced to fight to survive. It seems like we've done that story before.
Yeah.
Muppets Now.
Yes, tell me what you think about this.
So again, it was supposed to be like an unscripted Muppet series, which how the fuck can you do that?
Yeah.
The trailer looks great.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a standard Muppets fare. I'll have to wait and see an episode before I really pass judgment, but I'm excited about it because it's Muppets and I love the Muppets. And again, nostalgia factor is huge. Even my son loves the Muppets. I mean, we went together with him to go see the two Muppet movies, the most recent ones, in the theaters, you know, The Muppets and Muppets Most Wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we always watch, you know, Muppet Family Christmas every year, and we watch usually Muppet Christmas Carol, and we watch other, but there's not a lot of Muppets on Disney Plus. I would love to see the original Muppet Show, or even that shitty Muppets Tonight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think of it?
Along those lines, like, I felt the same way, but I also felt like, this is going to sound terrible, but I'm tired of getting my hopes up. It seems like every time I turn around, they do another Muppets thing where they're like, no, they're really back this time. And we get all excited, and then it shits the bed.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Whether it's a movie or a TV series or whatever. You know, Jason Segel's movie was supposed to kick off the next phase of Muppet movies.
Yep.
We've gotten nothing since then. We had that ABC series with the Muppets. Nothing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
No, I get it.
I sent you a trailer for Greenland.
That looks great.
Yeah.
That's probably what our fall's going to be like, you know, based on 2020. Like,
yeah. Basically, Gerard Butler.
Disaster.
Armageddon.
Yeah.
It's Armageddon or Deep Impact.
There's big asteroids or meteors coming to Earth that they either knew about and didn't tell anyone because fuck it, what can we do?
Right.
And essentially, there's bunkers in Greenland. That's the only safe place you can go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get my family there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I saw one the other night when I went to the drive-in that I had never seen before.
Oh, okay.
Which is surprising.
That is.
Because it was at the drive-in.
Right.
And it was something I hadn't seen before. But it's one that allegedly came out May 8th, 2020. Because remember, these movies came out back before the pandemic, too. It's called Run, Sweetheart, Run. And it looks creepy as hell. It's another Blumhouse movie. And basically, this woman goes on a date with this guy who seems very charming. We get to see like parts of their date. And then they go back to his place.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the front door. And, like, she walks in. She's like, okay, just one drink. And then he walks in and turns to the camera and goes, puts his hand up like, you stay here. And then the door closes, and you sit on the door for a little while. And then the door opens up, and she comes running out, like, panting. And she's running down the street. And the synopsis says, a woman runs for her life through the streets of Los Angeles when her seemingly charming date suddenly turns violent. And he turns violent. He's killing people. But she's going a little crazy because she can't tell if he makes it seem like it's not really him type of thing.
Mm-hmm. So released by Sundance, came out to Sundance January 27th, 2020. Jason Blum is acting as the producer for Blumhouse Productions. Was supposed to come out by OTL releasing and Blumhouse Tilt on May 8th, 2020, but it was pulled from the schedule due to the pandemic. And then later that month, Amazon acquired the distribution rights.
Oh, so maybe it'll be coming to Amazon.
It seems like it's going to be coming to Amazon.
I think you should check it out.
I plan on it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wait and watch the movie.
Yeah. And then the other trailer, which was more of a teaser.
Yeah.
Was season two of The Boys.
Yeah. I'm sold.
Aya Cash.
Yeah, because Aya Cash is in it, and so I'm sold.
I love
She's the new member of the Seven, which...
Stormfront.
Now they're straying from the comics.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
But I love...
Well, they're straying from the comics because... what's his name?
Translucent?
No, all I can think of is Highlander.
Oh, Homelander.
Homelander. He's still alive.
Yeah.
In the comics, he's very much dead.
Right.
And so isn't pretty much everybody. Yeah.
So basically, him and Maeve, Queen Maeve, are shooting a promotional video on an army base saying, you know, these are the real heroes. And then Aya Cash comes up and she's doing a live Instagram feed. And she's like, yeah, look, this isn't even a real base. That guy's not a real soldier. His name's like Johnny something and he's an actor.
You saw him at Blighty Name some movie that he's in, yeah.
And she's doing this thing and you get to watch all the, you know, likes come up and stuff like that. And basically, she introduced herself. They're like, yeah, get out of here. And she goes, oh, I was just told to come and introduce myself. And they're like, yeah, by who? Oh, the guy's on the 83rd floor. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the newest member of the Seven. And Homelander's face is just like priceless. He's like, great. Yeah. And then they're, you know, the woman that's there with him, she's like, I had no idea. Nobody died. I'm so sorry. Yeah, he is pissed.
Looks good.
It does.
I'm going to watch it. She's funny.
Couple of news items. So this was interesting. I know you don't really watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but Terry Crews actually posted that they took the first four episodes. They had scripts and they were starting to work on them for the next season, threw them all out because they are going to rewrite them based around what's going on right now with the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. Because the show is supposed to take place in Brooklyn, you know, right now. So they figured it was poignant enough. So they just threw out the scripts and they're like, we need to rewrite them. So that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Evil Dead Rise is the name of the fourth movie.
Oh, I hadn't seen that one.
Yeah. Well, no, you haven't because that hasn't come out yet.
No, I hadn't seen that news bit.
Oh, yep. Yep.
Nice.
Bruce Campbell said that's the name and it's coming. Elizabeth Banks is going to be Miss Frizzle in the live-action Universal Pictures version of The Magic School Bus.
I did see that, yeah.
Yep.
I wasn't a Magic School Bus fan.
I wasn't either. I think I was a little too old for it at that point.
Apparently, Evil Dead Rise is rumored to take place in a skyscraper.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do a little Bruce Willis reference in there.
I don't know. But yeah, because I Googled it, and it says, new rumors about Lee Cronin's Evil Dead Rise claim to be the next chapter of the long-running horror series. It's going to ditch the cabin in the woods and setting, and it's going to be taking place in a sky rise.
Did you say Lee Winnell?
No. Lee Cronin.
Oh, Lee Cronin. These two pieces kind of go hand in hand with each other.
Okay, I'm going to go see it in the theaters. I'm so fucking excited about it.
Maybe, because these two pieces kind of go together.
Okay.
So, Tenet has now been pushed back to August 12th.
Yes.
Because of COVID. And today, AMC announced that they are no longer opening their theaters July 15th.
Yep.
That they are now opening them July 30th.
Yep.
Tentatively. So, they've pushed it back a whole 2 weeks. There's so many surges, you know? Yeah. There's surges of cases showing up everywhere. And granted, movie theaters, you can kind of spread out a bit more, but they're still an enclosed space. So,
really?
And you're sitting. So they must be shitting their pants right now. I'm going to butcher this name right now. Chute E4 has confirmed he is definitely coming back as Mordo in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Okay. Nice.
Mordo's back. And this was an interesting story, and I actually, I'd seen it pop up early in the week, and one of my first thought was, well, what about, and then they said, oh, well, in that case. So basically, this week, a lot of shows, animated shows, announced, whether it was by the actor's choice or by their choice, that characters of color will no longer be voiced by white actors.
Yes.
So the big ones that I saw were Jenny Slate will no longer be doing Missy's voice on Big Mouth. And
the guy that plays Cleveland Brown on The Family Guy, after 20 years of doing the voice of Cleveland Brown, he's stepping away.
Yes. And they're saying that that was my big question because I had seen Big Mouth and there was another one that I don't really watch the show, but it was Kristen Bell does the voice. And she said the same thing. You know, they were like, we're not going to do this anymore. So they stepped away, and I was like, I wonder if Family Guy will follow suit. And then sure enough today, you know, Mike Henry was like, nope, I'm walking away. I'm not going to be Cleveland anymore. And good for him, you know, good for all of them to say, because it's big enough of a deal when you do live action. You know, you hear about all the ones, like there was the controversy of Ghost in the Shell by putting Scarlett Johansson in that role, as, you know, Major was supposed to be Asian American, and they put Scarlett Johansson in there. Or that Aloha movie where Emma Stone was supposed to be a Hawaiian native, and she's Emma Stone.
Right.
So it's hard enough, or the Ancient One, everyone freaked out because the Ancient One was supposed to be an ancient Chinese guy. It is a problem, and it is a big issue in Hollywood. So I'm not surprised to see them tackling it like this. I'm glad that they're doing it. I think that it's going to benefit everyone in the long run.
Yep.
If anybody has a problem with it, I think they need to check themselves.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, if anybody's like, oh, they should be able to play. Not really.
No.
You know, it would be the equivalent of, you know, just because it's an animated show, it would be the equivalent of doing blackface, you know?
Yeah.
If it was live action, so. Good for them for making these choices.
And so, Lee Cronin, who's taking over the new Evil Dead movie.
That's what I've heard.
We had talked a couple weeks ago about he had that. There was the reason why they chose him was based on his movie, The Hole in the Ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked it up because I was like, oh, I want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Amazon Prime. So you can watch it on Amazon Prime. It's for free if you have Prime member. So, because I actually saw the cover box today on Amazon Prime, but I didn't recognize the title. Mm-hmm. So I looked it up here. It showed me the poster. I was like, oh, shit, that's on Amazon.
So are you going to watch it?
Yes.
Hole in the Ground?
Yes. I want to watch it because I want to see. Oh, God. There we go. I want to see, you know, what it was that Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell saw while watching that movie. They said, yep, we want this guy to do Evil Dead.
Yeah. I'll add that to my list for next week so that I can watch it as well. And
cool, cool, cool. So is that everything? I think it is.
Oh, no. Damn it. Enter. There we go.
All right.
Hole in the Ground. No, not Home in the Ground. Stupid autocorrect. There we go.
All right. There you go.
Locked in.
Got it?
Locked in
place. Perfect. All right, so you can find me on the Twitter at SuperstarML.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's the show.
Later.